It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter, and that's some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome on in. Wednesday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Colbert. Inside the Shirley Street studio, it is June 14 of 2023. I think that would mean, if my math is correct, which is quite the statement. If my math is correct. But I think that would pretty much mean that we're like 9 weeks away from the high school football season beginning. So just try that on for size. Again, I'm not trying to talk your summer away. I'm just presenting facts, people. Okay? Just presenting facts is all. thanks for being here, if you're still here. Or maybe perhaps that provoked you to turn the channel, but nonetheless, however you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com, I appreciate your attendance very, very much. And like usual, we've got another ambitious agenda laid out for the program today. Details forthcoming. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert, and like the Facebook page. Type in 1650 The Fan. You'll find us there on the Zuck Machine. Type in, or I should say, hit the like button when you find us there on Facebook. And bookmark the website, 1650thefan.com. That is not only where you get the stream, but also where you get all sorts of local, statewide, national sports content, audio on demand, including last Friday's interview with former Cedar Falls and UNI standout current Milwaukee Bucks guard A.J. Green. So if you missed that last Friday on the show, you can go listen on demand and hear A.J. talk about what was a record-setting rookie season for him with the Milwaukee Bucks. And he also talks about what's ahead for him in his NBA career. So just one of the many reasons to check out the website on a regular basis. Make sure you got the number or one of them saved in your phone if you ever feel compelled to call in with any questions or comments. 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479, or you can email the show your questions or comments, or perhaps maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. By all means, fire away, send me an email. Cole at 1650thefan.com. All right, here is what is on that agenda today. As always, we'll get it started here in just a little bit with area sports news and scores. We'll get into the stack for your Wednesday. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas. We've got Cubs baseball again here tonight on The Fan. Big win for the Cubs last night. Boy, they sure did need a win like that. 11-3. Was it 11-3 or 11-4 over the Pirates? But nonetheless, it sure seems like it's now or never for the Cubs. I mean, you wouldn't think that you'd be saying that in early mid-June, but if they're going to put a little bit of a stretch of baseball together to genuinely get back into the NL Central race, it's got to happen here over the next three-ish weeks. And when you're taking on a division opponent, like the Pittsburgh Pirates right now, at home, at Wrigley Field. And another thing as well, and I'm not sure everybody out there knows this, but Major League Baseball made the transition this season to a balanced schedule. You don't get as many games against your divisional opponents anymore, and you're playing more games against the American League, a la balanced schedule. So these opportunities are even more important now when you're taking on the Pirates or the Reds or the Cardinals or the Brewers. And so the Cubs get a big win last night against the Pirates, who, believe it or not, are in first place in the National League Central. And if they can sweep this series, that can go a long, long way here very quickly and making it look like, hey, maybe they won't be out of the race. Maybe by nature of that, they won't be trading off some of their better players for younger prospects. And I think I speak for all of us out there. Whether your team is the Cubs, the Cardinals, whatever your team might be, it just stinks when your baseball season, in effect, basically comes to an end in late July when the trade deadline comes and goes. So hopefully the Cubs can keep it rolling tonight, and you can listen right here on The Fan. 6:30 pregame, 7:05 first pitch. Drew Smyly on the bump, and as I was talking about there before I basically interrupted myself, the VSiN Action Update with Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas. They'll get you set if you want to maybe throw a shekel or two on tonight's game. After that, we'll get a forecast from Megan Mulford for the rest of this Wednesday, looking into tomorrow and Friday. Then we'll come back in the next segment and be joined by Eric Jesse, Waterloo East High School baseball coach. We're checking in, mid-season check-ins with our metro and area baseball and softball teams. We did that on Monday, and then continuing that today with Coach Jesse, the Trojans, 11-10. The program's just gotten better every year that he has been there as the varsity baseball coach at Waterloo East. And the Iowa Alliance Conference looking very, very competitive, albeit still gettable. You know, we're kind of talking about the Cubs there still being within striking distance in the NL Central. Coach Jesse's Trojans still within striking distance in the Iowa Alliance Conference, playing good baseball, 11-10, like I mentioned, but off to a little bit of a rough start in conference play. So Coach will join us in the next segment and give us the lowdown on the Trojans here as we get into the back half of the regular season of the high school baseball and softball seasons. After we're done talking Waterloo East baseball with Eric Jesse, we'll take the timeout near the bottom of the hour, get you Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. On the other side of that break, Sean Keeler, our friend from the Denver Post, excellent sports reporter and columnist, former longtime Des Moines Register sports columnist. Of course, he's had the coverage for the Post of the Nuggets run and now, of course, championship. Defeating the Miami Heat, I should say, in the NBA Finals. 4-1 was all it took. Five games for the Nuggets to win that championship, their first in franchise history. So who better than Sean, the guy who was there to take us into this championship by the Nuggets. And I continue to make no apologies for this amount of NBA talk on the show because I thought it was outstanding basketball. Even though that game the other night, Monday night, turned into a rock fight, it was still good basketball. I still really enjoyed watching it. I don't have to have a 122-116 game to enjoy it in the NBA, as long as I think that there's good defense, good basketball getting played, and that entire series was that. And that's basically been the Denver Nuggets all season long. So Sean will join us kind of for a final time, if you will, on the NBA Finals. And, of course, we'll check in with him from time to time as the summer goes along, but can't say thanks enough to him for all he's done for the show here as we have dug in on these NBA Finals a little extra, as I mentioned, just because I think it's been really, really good basketball. And I hope some of you have listened and enjoyed the NBA Finals as well. So that's what's on the agenda today. After we're done with Sean, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up today's show. All right, let's go right ahead and dive in. Area sports news and scores for your Wednesday. Last night in Metro Baseball, Cedar Falls defeated Decorah 6-3, and Waterloo West edged Waterloo East 4-3. In Metro softball, Cedar Rapids Xavier swept a doubleheader from Cedar Falls, and Waterloo West swept a doubleheader from Iowa City High. Sydney Wilson homered for the Wahawks in both of those wins. Meanwhile, tonight in Metro baseball, Waterloo Columbus playing host to Gladbrook Rhinebeck. In Metro softball, Waterloo West plays at Waterloo Columbus. Waterloo East has a new boys basketball coach. Mike Saylor has been hired to guide the Trojans program. He's a 1997 East graduate and will take over pending school board approval. At East, he played football, basketball, and baseball before attending Iowa Central Community College, where Saylor played football. He received All-Metro honors in football his senior season. In 1996, he led the Metro with 31 receptions for 384 yards. He's coached basketball at Carver Middle School, the AAU circuit, and has been an assistant coach for the East football team. Mike Saylor replaces Brent Carmichael, who vacated the position in the offseason. After three seasons under Carmichael, the Trojans went 24-38. The Waterloo Bucks came from behind to defeat La Crosse 5-4 in 10 innings last night at Riverfront Stadium. The score was tied at 3 apiece after 9 innings. La Crosse scored a run in the top of the 10th, but the Bucks fought back with a pair and the winning run coming on a wild pitch. Bucks now 6-10 this season, and they have today off. The Iowa State women's basketball team has added LSU transfer Elisa Williams. The 6'2" forward appeared in 20 games for the 2023 national champs, played a total of 58 minutes, averaged just under a point a game. She's a native of Denton, Texas, joined LSU after a standout prep career at Braswell High School, in which she averaged more than 17 points and 7 rebounds per game as a junior and senior. Iowa second baseman Sam Honar is entering his name into the transfer portal after playing two seasons for Rick Heller's Hawkeyes. Honar started 59 of 60 games for Iowa baseball this season, batted .255, finishing in the top five on the team in RBIs, home runs, doubles, and stolen bases. He enters the portal just over a week after Iowa was eliminated in the NCAA regionals. Wartburg ranked 16th in the final standings of the NCAA Division III Learfield Directors' Cup. Division III is comprised of 450 schools. The Knights have now finished in the top 25 in 19 of the last 21 years. Points are awarded based on each institution's finish in up to 18 sports, 9 women's and 9 men's. The next Field of Dreams Major League Baseball game not going to happen in Iowa. The game is set for next year. Officials announced there would be no Field of Dreams matchup because of the ongoing construction in Dyersville this summer. The San Francisco Chronicle reports next year's game will be at Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama. That's America's oldest ballpark. The paper reports the game will be between the San Francisco Giants and St. Louis Cardinals. Major League Baseball has not confirmed this, but previously said it would not comment on returning to Iowa in 2024. And last night, Las Vegas skated past Florida 9-3 to clinch the Stanley Cup. The Golden Knights won the series in 5 games. Las Vegas built a 6-1 lead after the first 2 periods. It's the first championship for Las Vegas in its short 6-year history. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast. We'll come back on the other side. We'll get a check-in on Waterloo East baseball at the midway point of the regular season. Coach Eric Jesse joins us next right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Beyer.
Wizards guard Bradley Beal could be made available for a trade if the Wizards end up wanting to rebuild for the future. That was the message from multiple reports today, saying that the Wizards front office and Beal's representatives have had discussions on a possible deal if the Wizards look to rebuild their franchise. As for Beal's current contract situation, he just completed the first year of a 5-year contract that pays him more than $251 million. In day baseball, Braves topped the Tigers today 10-7. Atlanta's up in game 2 of the doubleheader 2-0, playing in the third inning in Motown. Twins a 4-2 winner against Milwaukee as the Brewers have lost 6 straight. And the Giants rallied to tie it in the 9th on a Mike Yastrzemski 2-run shot, then scored 3 in the 10th. Giants over the Cardinals 8-5. Ravens signed first-round pick wide receiver Zay Flowers, while free agent wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins is meeting with the Patriots. Bills wide receiver Stephon Diggs back at workouts today.
Whether you're a Tiger, a Sailor, a Falcon, or a Red Hawk, we're your sports station. 1650 The Fan.
Hi there, Troy with Action Garage Builders. Whether you're looking to build that new garage you've never had or replace that old existing garage, call Action Garage Builders. We can tear down existing garages, install new concrete, and build your new garage utilizing maintenance-free siding, vinyl windows, insulated steel doors, and more. Give us a call at 232-1477. If you need a garage, you need Action.
This month, we're extending a hearty congratulations to our Gold Star teachers, Central Middle School's Kendall Rockford, Irving Elementary's Ann Schreck, Orange Elementary's Roshana Greer, and Hoover Middle School's Joellen Pruis. We're also celebrating our board members for the positive impact they make on our district. Specifically, get this. Board member Lyle Schmidt has served 30 years on our Waterloo Schools board. Thank you, Director Schmidt. Recently, he shared with us that he was the first in his family to be able to go to college. He became an engineer, and it changed the trajectory of his life. And he serves on our board and supports education because, in his words, what we offer today can change the trajectory of many students' lives ahead. We also celebrated the 20th anniversary of the opening of the Dr. Walter Cunningham School for Excellence. At Waterloo Schools, we're so proud of our rich traditions and phenomenal students, staff, board, and volunteers. Thank you to the entire community for supporting our students. Visit us online at waterlooschools.org. With us, the future is now.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
Drew Smyly on the mound today for the Chicago Cubs, $1.40 favorite against Pittsburgh, +130. Osvaldo Beto making his Major League debut for the Pirates today at Wrigley. St. Louis Cardinals, $1.35 favorite at home with the San Francisco Giants. Jordan Montgomery with the Cardinals against Anthony DeSclafani for the Giants. 8.5 flat the total. The White Sox, a $2.30 dog at Dodger Stadium against Clayton Kershaw and the L.A. Dodgers. -280, 8.5 under the total. Scotty Scheffler bet down from a 7-1 to a +650 favorite to win this week's U.S. Open. Mike Sunnett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 61. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 90. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Lows dip down to about 60. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Temperatures above average Friday and Saturday with highs in the mid-80s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Saturday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 89.
Bust it.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Wednesday edition of the show rolls on, and we began to check back in with our metro and area baseball and softball teams. We've pretty much all but reached the midway point of the regular season of the high school baseball and softball seasons. And Eric Jesse, Waterloo East High School baseball coach, kind enough to join us now on the show. The Trojans 11-10 so far this season. Off to a little bit of a slow start in the Iowa Alliance Conference. Really good baseball being played in the IAC so far. So we're going to learn about the Trojans here at the midway point. Coach Jesse, thanks so much for being here. How are you today?
Hey, Cole. First of all, thanks for always having me on. Appreciate everything you do for us as a program and the surrounding area. But I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for being here. The pleasure is all mine. Don't mean to start on the other side of the coin here, but you had that rivalry game last night. You come up just short to Waterloo West, and I think the Wahawks are a little better than what their record has demonstrated this season. You guys have really fought it out here in a couple games. So just take us into that rivalry game last night where you guys just come up just short.
Yeah. First of all, they definitely are much improved. They have a lot of good pitching this year, and the Homelar kid is an absolute stud behind the plate.
Yeah.
He's a really good player. They got some other really good pieces. Some older guys mixed with some younger guys. They're improving, and I'm glad to see that. You know, it's good when both teams, I feel like, are playing good ball. Mm-hmm. You know, and it actually is a rivalry now since, you know, we've actually won a few games and within the past few matchups. You know, they always say it's not a rivalry game until one team starts to win a little bit. So it's definitely a bona fide rivalry game now. You know, good energy last night. We came up a little short. I think our guy on the mound was a little too juiced to start. Settled in nicely, Maddox, after the first inning. And, you know, we ran into a lot of barrels. We hit the ball extremely hard last night, just kind of fell into some gloves, and that's part of the game sometimes. Other than that, you know, we are right there.
That's the way it's going to go sometimes. And, you know, if you look at your schedule before last night's matchup with the Wahawks, your team had won four straight. So, as I mentioned here, Coach Jesse, getting into the back half of the regular season, you got to feel good, though. You've won four of your last five, four straight before you dropped that one to the Wahawks last night. So in this sample of games here that I'm speaking to, what have you liked the most from your Trojan ball club?
Yeah, mostly we've been hitting the heck out of the ball this year. You know, we've really improved in that aspect a lot, and not only just hitting the ball, but, you know, hitting for power a little bit. Last few years, this is my fourth year now, or the 3 years prior, we didn't really hit for much power. You know, it was either get on base with a walk or just a single. So this year we're actually slugging a little bit, and that's been awesome to see. The guys worked hard. Some of them got in the weight room, and just a lot of good ball players on this team. That's been something I've been really happy to see so far this year. And, you know, our pitching has also improved a lot this season, which, you know, Ty Shellhorn, a guy, for example, he's been awesome on the mound so far this year. Obviously, we knew what we had coming in with our first two guys, but that's just one guy that stands out to me right away on the bump.
Yeah, I want to talk about your pitching here in a little bit, but, you know, something that's kind of that's really fascinated me over the years now, doing the show, talking to high school baseball and softball coaches, particularly after the season gets going, Coach Jesse, is, okay, you get a good sample of games and you circle the wagons with your staff and say, man, if we can be a little better here, if we can be a little bit better at this. But then again, there's just so little practice time. So, one, have you identified anything that you're thinking, man, we're going to be that much harder to compete against if we get a little better here? But then in your experience now, you mentioned it's year four for you. How do you go about trying to improve when there's so little practice time?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Obviously, like you said, we're in a grind right now. We actually have a practice today, which is good, always kind of good to reset. But even then, we don't want to go super hard. We just kind of want to touch on some of the bases
right
that we, like you said, we recognize that we need to work on defensively right now. We started off really well defensively the last couple week or so. We've kind of struggled in some areas. Some of that is partly because we've had some injury issues this year and some other guys that have been out for a variety of different reasons. So we're trying to kind of piece together some guys that aren't in their natural spot. So, you know, that comes with high school ball already, but yeah, Even more when we're moving guys out of their spots. But we've done a pretty good job of kind of learning on the fly. Obviously, can always be better, and that's something, too, we talked about. You know, no matter how great you were the time before, the game before, or how bad you were the time before, you can always improve. So that's you know, we're thinking long-term here. But I think we've got some good talent up and down this year where we hopefully can make a good run and continue to play the right way.
Waterloo East High School baseball coach Eric Jesse, our guest right now on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Trojans playing good baseball this season and looking to make a run at the Iowa Alliance Conference Championship here, as it's still pretty early in conference play, albeit halfway through the regular season. Coach Jesse, just to revisit the pitching that you had mentioned earlier, Ty Shellhorn was the name you had brought up, who's given you some really valuable innings. Sophomore Maddox Harn, senior Justin Thomas, those two have put up big numbers on the mound this season. You told us a little bit about Ty. Tell us a little bit about Justin and Maddox, because those are a couple guys that, from what I see, when they're on the bump, you got a chance to win just about any game.
Yeah, no doubt. And when we touched earlier in the year, Cole, we talked about how JT was coming back from his Tommy John.
Yeah.
So he started a little slow, but now he's really started to ramp it up, and he's really looked more like the Justin of old. Not that he was bad at the beginning of the season, just maybe struggled in some areas that we wouldn't have foreseen. So it was good to kind of see him get back to his old JT, old normal, fiery self on the mound. Then Maddox is just improved drastically on the mound this year. You know, he's really taking control of the strike zone, understanding, you know, what we want to do with certain counts, maybe, you know, certain hitters that we're facing. And, you know, it's been a fun thing to watch. Last week when we faced Mason City, you know, coming into that game, we were a little nervous just because at the time they were leading the entire state in home runs, mm-hmm. and Maddox ended up shutting them out in 7 scoreless. So that was just an awesome pitching performance, and he's really taken that next step on the mound and, honestly, in the field as well, moving him around in a few different spots. It's been fun, and like you said, when we got those two guys on the mound, we're tough to beat with some of our other arms too. Mm-hmm. You know, when we get to postseason play, I like our chances with either of those guys on the bump. So we're excited. We just got to keep continuing to get better, and we'll see where we're at the end of the year.
Yeah, rightfully so, to be excited. Curious, just with JT, Justin Thomas coming back from that Tommy John. Obviously, you know, anybody who's a baseball fan, college or Major League Baseball, knows about rehabilitation from Tommy John surgery and some of the things that go into it. And obviously the infrastructure around arms at the college and Major League level are just not going to compare at all to what's available to the high school athlete. So what have you and your staff, maybe any of the infrastructure at Waterloo East, you know, working with Justin's parents, like, I'm just curious, what have you been able to put into just creating the safest environment, most productive environment possible for a young man like that coming back from a surgery like that?
Yeah, it's really tough, I'm not going to lie. There's been some times where, you know, we've had to do some things where I necessarily didn't like, but we've been putting him at first base more this year, especially if we're playing two and he pitches one, he's definitely going to have to play first base for us, and then trying to limit the pitch count as much as we can. Obviously, that's tough sometimes too. We've also been trying to give him an extra day or two rest, especially earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. We were definitely trying, between starts, I guess I should say, but between starts, we were trying to give him an extra couple days of rest just to kind of get his arm back where it needs to be and not feel like he has to rush, or and just trying to have that open line of communication. You know, last year, you know, it started. He was kind of dinged up and was just, he's so competitive that he, you know, he didn't want to come out. So that's something, too, we've talked about, just being honest. And, you know, if you're sore, like, we can work around it. His safety and being precautionary is super important, especially since he's going to go pitch next year for Grandview. So that's something we've been really emphasizing. It's just, we got to keep you healthy and think long-term, big picture.
Just a little bit of time left here with Waterloo East High School baseball coach Eric Jesse on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Coach Jesse, just as you get into the back half of the regular season here, is there anything in particular you're focused on with your team, whether it's getting a message to them, whether it's maybe some physical work that you want to do? Is there anything that you and your staff have identified here that you want to make a focal point in the back half of the regular season?
Yeah, just continuing to play the right way. You know, always hard 90s. Getting after our opponent, no matter if we're playing Waterloo West or we're playing Marshtown or we're mm-hmm. playing Mason City, we want to play the same type of way no matter who we're playing. And, you know, we set goals early in the year, and we're on our way of doing it. We've already won more games this season than last year, mm-hmm. and we're hoping we can get up into the 20 range this year, which is definitely doable, and that would be something that hasn't been done here in a really, 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 really long time. So, and just sending those seniors out on the right note that they deserve and their legacy as Trojan baseball players.
And Coach Jesse, before I let you go, when it comes to making a little bit of a push here in the Iowa Alliance Conference, I have to imagine you're thinking, man, this probably should start tomorrow night when we go on the road to Fort Dodge and play a doubleheader. You split with the Dodgers earlier this season. A sweep would really give you a boost in the conference standing. So how are you thinking your guys can get that done tomorrow night? What can you tell us about the matchup?
Yeah, they kind of took it to us that first game. Second game, we bounced back nicely and ended up splitting the doubleheader. And, you know, we realize what they're going to bring. You know, they're going to hit the ball. We just got to be able to make plays behind our guys. You know, and something we talked about, too, we've done a much better job this year of filling up the strike zone as a pitching staff. So we know what we're going to get there, and just we need to get those timely hits and, you know, those pressure situations, having that clutch gene. You know, we talk about situational hitting all the time as well and just how important it is in baseball. We need to come up with those big hits in the right moment.
Coach, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Best of luck, best of health to your team the rest of the way. We'll be sure to check in.
Yep, sounds good, Cole. Really appreciate it for having me on, and go Trojans.
There you go. Go Trojans. Take care, Coach. Eric Jesse, Waterloo East High School baseball coach, kind enough to join us on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Yeah, what an improvement it's been steadily year over year since Coach Jesse took the helm of the program, this now being his fourth season. So congrats to him, his staff, and those great student-athletes over there at East continuing to raise the standard for Trojans baseball. All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming your way during the break. We'll come back on the other side and recap the NBA Finals with the man who was on the ground in both Denver and South Beach throughout what was just a five-game NBA Finals. Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports reporter and columnist, joins us next right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. An Iowa native has gone from fan to leading the College World Series in Omaha. Amy Hornocker is in her first year as executive director. Her first experience at the World Series was as a baseball manager at Des Moines East High School in 1998 when the team attended a game at Old Rosenblatt Stadium.
I never thought I'd be here when I was, you know, sitting in GA. So I still keep track of, keep in touch with some of the old coaches from that East team. And, I mean, credit to them. They gave me my first taste.
The College World Series begins Friday afternoon when Oral Roberts plays TCU. Baseball from this afternoon. The Iowa Cubs erupted for six runs in the bottom of the third and beat Indianapolis 8-1 in Des Moines in International League action. Also, Ben Ross had a three-run homer as the Cedar Rapids Colonels beat South Bend 7-2 this afternoon. Later on tonight in the Midwest League, the Quad Cities are at Beloit. This is Radio Iowa.
Imagine someone hiding a gambling problem. How exhausting it must be, seeing the losses pile up and feeling powerless to control it. Now imagine it's someone you love, your spouse, your child, your friend. Talk to them to understand where they're coming from, because anyone can have a gambling problem. They just need help getting their life back. Get help for them and you by calling 1-800-BETS-OFF or visiting yourlifeiowa.org. A message from Iowa HHS.
Crop and livestock producers make Iowa's economy strong, and the stressors that farmers face are different from any other industry. Financial strain and environmental challenges have contributed to farmers saying it's affected their mental health. Register for the Comprehensive Suicide Prevention Response for Iowa Agriculture webinar presented by David Brown at ISU Extension. The webinar is June 21st and is free to the public. Visit yourlifeiowa.org and search for the 2023 Suicide Prevention Webinar Series to register. CEUs approved. A message from Iowa HHS.
Conservative governor and business leader Doug Burgum.
I grew up in a tiny town in North Dakota. Woke was what you did at 5 a.m. to start the day. I started a shoeshine business, worked at the grain elevator, and as a chimney sweep. I literally bet the farm to help build a tiny startup into a billion-dollar company with customers in 132 countries. A kid from small-town North Dakota. That's America.
That's Doug Burgum, world-class business leader, remarkably successful two-term conservative governor. Doug Burgum has a conservative plan for the economy, energy, and national security. He'll cut taxes, create energy independence, and win the Cold War with China. Doug Burgum is a new leader for a changing economy.
I'm Doug Burgum, and I approve this message. Paid for by Doug Burgum for America.
With experts all over the country and a commitment to fully invest in your case, Ballkirk & Holm brings you the big city expertise and resources with local knowledge and service that you deserve. A common misperception is that after an injury, you need to hire a large law firm from a bigger city. Our local attorneys have taken on and won against large multinational corporations and forced foreign manufacturers into Iowa courts to hold them accountable. We've secured large but fair settlements against the largest hospital systems in the state and foreign manufacturers for deaths and catastrophic injuries. Our office uses technology to uncover the crucial facts and make large corporations see their risk. We use the same technology to effectively communicate with our clients, saving us time and allowing us to focus on the large legal issues in the most complex cases. For a free consultation, visit BallKirkHolm.com. Ballkirk & Holm, helping injured Iowans since 1958.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert. Follow Cole on Twitter at @RealColbert.
Welcome back to a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. And folks, I promise your pain will be over soon. We're going to stop talking about the NBA. But I tell you what, damn it. I told you it was going to be really good basketball. And albeit it only went five games, but I thought it was really good basketball. And it sure seems like the masses agree with me, and not that I was out on a limb or anything. So we got to bring back our friend Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports reporter and columnist, or as he was most recently affectionately known on this program, South Beach Sean. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Sean Keeler. Sean, I guess first things first, I don't think you've ever covered an NBA champion in the finals before. As someone who shares the profession with you, I've covered some pretty big things, but nothing that meets that. I mean, just take us inside what it's like being in an NBA arena and a game to clinch an NBA Finals. And then, of course, ultimately, the Nuggets win the championship. Just take us inside the experience of that.
Thank you, first off, for yet again introducing me with a giant apology to your listening audience. Because you know what's coming.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it was nice. It was loud. I mean, I've been to, four or five Final Fours. I've been to title things.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel as big as, say, a national championship game in college basketball. I mean, it was somewhat of a, it's below that of the size and euphoria. But that's because they play those things at Dang Domes.
Right.
You know, there's 50,000 people crammed in a football stadium watching a basketball on a postage stamp. That's what a Final Four is.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as big as that. It was heartfelt, as I think any community, you know, and I've covered Cubs playoffs and a White Sox World Series, and we are not going down that road, I swear, on either front. But I've seen some unlikely champions.
Yeah.
And Northwestern Rose Bowl, Pickett, you know, all this stuff in 30 years longer. So it had a lot of that catharsis. It was probably the most cathartic, maybe, championship event, although, again, back to some of Chicago things, maybe not a Royals World Series, kind of similarly cathartic. I've been in a lot of bad franchises, done good stories.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it was good. I just remember trying, maybe it's because my shoes are bad, because I've worn them to Italy and back. I'm not about falling down on the confetti when I'm running around there, and the players that were all basically steaming drunk and smelling of cigar smoke will be my memories of that night, and being colossally busy and almost getting shot. So there are things you remember.
Excuse me? Almost shot? Shot by a confetti gun? Or
no, shot by, like, I interviewed somebody at midnight, and at 12:20, as I'm walking away, I hear gunshots behind me, and there's 10 people shot during a drug deal gone wrong a block from where I just interviewed somebody. So that's fun.
Well, I'm glad that you're still above ground.
Go to DenverPost.com, folks. Click on that column, because Lord knows no one did here. Click on that column about your Google Teeler shooting, and hopefully it turns up, although Google hates me right now, so God only knows. Google and I are off.
I'm going to your Twitter profile right now so I can...
I've only retweeted it 35 times, and here's a little insider secret. When Google is not catching my column, that's the one I'm going to retweet 35 times until I stuff it down your throat like a bad nanny in a horror film. That's when I'm... The stuff that people love, I'm not going to retweet that. You got it. It's great. It's the stuff you should be reading that you aren't, like your livers and your vegetables, that I'm going to shove down your throat, Twitter followers. That's why.
Well,
I get people back to me. Sean Keeler's going to retweet this 35 times. Forget him. Forget him. Yeah? Well, read it. Read it, you joker. Read it.
If you have haters, that just means you're doing something right, Sean.
Well, that's what they say.
All right. Well, you got my retweet for whatever the hell that might be worth. And...
That was so insane. That was almost cathartic. I thank you for that. And for that, folks, is why you get the apology before Keeler comes on.
Yes.
The show to run it through. No, it was good. You know, again, it wasn't the greatest, but I'm not a Denverite. I mean, I am by proxy now. But it was cathartic. I mean, even as much, well, I wasn't in Tampa when they clinched last year. I was at the celebration. It was on a Sunday night where I did not hear gunshots, thank God. and did this time around. But so, yeah, I think cathartic's a good word for what that experience of life is. As any, I have kind of a love hate with some of the folks in the Nugs locker room that way. They're an interesting bunch.
Interesting to hear all of that, to say the least, and to dig in on the basketball side of things. I think, you know, we've talked so much about the intricacies of the series and its matchups and all that. I think my main takeaway from watching the Nuggets clinch this championship in Game 5, Sean, was Nikola Jokic is a great player who's got really good help. Jimmy Butler is a great player who does not have really good help. I mean, call me out if you think I'm being a little, if I'm oversimplifying here, because the NBA is personified by, you know, what is the two or three best players you have on your team, and I don't care to necessarily go down that road, but that's what stood out to me in Game 5, man.
I think that's well said. I think that's a great Cliffs. You're good at this. That's a good Cliffs notes of this series, is that Jimmy Butler was probably the second best player on the floor, and then the Nuggets had the next seven.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? That sounds about right. And that's what you get. You get a 4-1 or you get a 4-0. You get that. And I knew this series was over, even after that game two, you know, in Denver, with the only Nuggets loss at home, which, you know, we were so spoiled from that. Was it last Sunday or two Sundays ago? We were shocked. That was the collective gasp moment, if there was one, for 2 months, where everyone kind of went, well, okay, these are the magical Heat who can win anywhere in spite of being an 8 seed, and here we go. I think it was after then game three in Miami, where in the third quarter, like the crowd, the Heat just didn't show up. He just stood there and got blitzed by about 20 points that quarter. And suddenly I looked up like, God, they're up like 17 on the road. I went, this may not be a series after all. And something Eric Spoelstra said right after that struck me, where he's like, basically, and I'm sure you heard this, we have to play perfect to win.
Yeah.
We have to be firing at this and this and this. And he sounded like Porter Moser with Loyola. He said, you know where I'm going with
that? Yeah, I do.
Even covering colleges. It sounded like a Butler or a Loyola coach at the Final Four going, yeah, I mean, we're super, but then when we run into Kentucky at Team 5-star, we have to be perfect almost every time, and certainly the time that we run into, you know, Kansas.
Yeah, basically, like,
pick your blue blood.
There can't be more than maybe 3 possessions a half that you don't execute.
Right, right. And that goes back to the college. You know, good for coaches giving us back to college speak, where the coaches need more. And so, when I heard that, my brain went back to, oh, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because the Nuggets, I mean, look at Game 5. The Nuggets played terribly. They were bad. Were they not? And they were
Neither team was great.
Neither team was great. They were 1-for-17, I think, on threes. They were really bad. And they still won. You know, they had to pull it away late and did it with the two defensive-minded guys to do it. But, yeah, they had a huge margin for error. And the Heat had, to your point, next to none. And Spoelstra just said it, who was like Mr. Motivation and, oh, no, we're not it's not all about double-teaming Murray. It was.
Yeah.
It's not about taking him out. It was. It's we're not letting Jokic score. You were. he gets combative, but he just literally kind of gave up the plot after game three and seeing him get blitzed at home and going, yeah, we might be in trouble here, because to your point, there is a big talent discrepancy on this roster, and we, like a good mid-major from the Missouri, but we were the Missouri Valley team, so we did well to get here. Getting here was the fight. We knocked off some huge powers to do so. And we ran into like Bill Walton's UCLA. This is not going to go well.
Sean, I never would have guessed the Missouri Valley would have expanded its footprint to Miami, but
that's where we're going. We're going. The Big Ten's in LA. The Missouri Valley's in South Beach. Maps mean nothing.
From Murray, Kentucky, all the way to South Beach. That's the Missouri.
I love that. You get them on the horn. We'll get the posters up.
America's Renaissance Conference. Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports reporter and columnist, our guest right now on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Follow Sean on Twitter, @SeanKeeler. All right. There's a lot of talk, it seems like, of just how good are these Nuggets, and is this a budding dynasty? I think those are two separate questions in terms of how good of a championship team was, are these Nuggets, and what is the likelihood that they can be dynastic, because they're pretty much bringing back everybody.
Yeah. Four of the starting five are under 28.
That's big time.
And three of them have long-term max deals. So unlike some other baseball teams that I happen to root for that gave a lot of money to stars who then decided they didn't want to play anymore, I know, I said I wouldn't go down that road.
Don't do it.
I am. Yeah, unlike people whose names rhyme with Moan Yankata and Leloy Gomez, who have a lot of money and have simply satisfied with that and sat.
And a lot of soft tissue injuries.
Yeah, and Jim Landerson, who don't want to play for you anymore. Unlike certain franchises on the south side of Chicago, the Nuggets have long-term field guys who are good and who care. And to your point, that's a good sign. They are going to miss some of the chemistry stuff because that's kind of the hardest thing to kind of fill around.
Yeah.
That's where you're kind of playing the lottery with a DeAndre Jordan. Huh. Now, guys, you forgot because they didn't play the playoffs very much. Reggie Jackson, the veteran guard who's from Denver in the Colorado Springs area.
Yeah.
You had a lot of really good Ish Smith. There's going to be a lot of Trivial Pursuit questions on this team because not a lot of these same pieces are going to be there, and it is hard to replicate the chemistry stuff because the core is Jokic, Murray, MPJ, Gordon to some degree too. I got to look at the length of that again. I think his is also 2 to 3 years out. So we are a mile high at peak Nuggets right now. This is your five-year window that probably started in 20 and would have happened with the Gordon trade in 21.
Yeah.
You remember this a little bit. They were 9-1 or 8-1 right after that Gordon trade, mm-hmm. and were smoking people. And then Murray's knee blows.
Yep.
And it stopped. And it was like a train. And people are now kind of saying in hindsight, yeah, this might have been a 22 champ and maybe a 21 contender / champ.
Sure.
The way they were going, because the playoff Nuggets are what they were for those 2 weeks. Like, that was like everybody's ears went like, well, okay. Because they were, I mean, Boston came in and it was pretty good. And they destroyed them, and everybody kind of went, oh, that's what the Aaron Gordon trade was about, because they got rid of Gary Harris, you know, the old Michigan State product, who was very popular and a big
yes.
key piece of this, to Orlando to get a Gordon as kind of an athletic, defend everybody, and basically be the best dunker on the floor when to clean up and do garbage stuff. And he has been fabulous at that. Well, what he really wants to do is shoot it 25 times and be multifaceted and take threes, and they told him no, and please no, just draw a line on the basket, just get rebounds, we'll figure out the rest. Only two guys are going to get those 20 shots, and he has kind of sucked it up and did it, and he's got a ring for it. So I think they're in a good window. Dynasty we'll see, but it wouldn't shock me if there's another one in the next three. That's
yeah.
still pretty good. Or 2-4 or 2-5, that's awfully good. I think after 5 years and these max contracts run out and you're kind of down to Jokic's interest in this, frankly, and his tolerance of,
yeah.
of being a star. And that's a weird thing to say, but it's kind of like Jim Brown you hear about. I mean,
Barry Sanders.
Terrible. Yeah, Barry Sanders is a good parallel where they're like, I like this, but I don't love it,
yep.
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Or I see where he wants to be at 50 is like running horses and having the biggest stables in Eastern Europe. That's his life goal. And he would like, now he's got a ring, how many more does he want to add in the case of Jokic? It's kind of up to Jokic. They will go as far as he kind of wants to. Because someday,
mm-hmm.
like Sanders, like before our generation of Jim Brown, he'll just go, that'll be it.
Yeah.
And he won't be here when he walks. He'll send a telegram. He'll send a pigeon, like from somewhere in Serbia that says, I am not coming back. It has been great. This has been my pleasure. Bye. And that will be it. That's how this will end. But hopefully that's not for, 5, 6 years down the line.
Sean, great stuff, man. And It's going to be fascinating to watch how it plays out here, especially as you point out with Jokic, such a interesting personality to say the very least. And the Jim Brown, Barry Sanders parallels, they ring true. I mean, if you're paying attention at all, but great stuff as always, man. We'll have to put a bookmark in revisiting the latest with Coach Prime, because we
have lots of time for Prime,
yeah,
baby.
I know that's where life is going back for you now, that it's all back onto the Coach Prime beat, but we got a couple months here of, I guess it's probably going to be pretty exciting out in your neck of the woods as Buff fans.
It'll be great. We got the Rockies. We got six straight weeks of the Rockies. It's going to be great.
Oh, well, we'll see what the Rockies can do with those 6 weeks. I have a feeling they will not capitalize.
They will do nothing. They'll do not a thing with it. And
but, hey.
For that and through. So, again, Keeler, folks, listening, Keeler, comma, shooting, or Keeler, comma, nuggets, comma, shooting.
Yes.
Click that in your Google. See what happens. My family will thank you eventually.
And you can just go, the folks out there, they ought to be following me on Twitter by now, damn it. I retweeted it, so they can see it on my Twitter at @RealColbert. Sean, great stuff, man. I got to run. Take care.
You too, buddy. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye. Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports columnist, kind enough to join us on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. All right, let's take this next time out. NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Then we'll come back for a final time and wrap up the show.
I'm Bridget Condon with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Bills held their first day of mandatory minicamp Tuesday, and one player not out on the practice field was Stephon Diggs. Head coach Sean McDermott says he is, quote, very concerned by the receiver's decision to skip minicamp. According to NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, Diggs was present at the Bills facility on Monday and Tuesday morning, but he left before the start of Tuesday's minicamp practice. Dalvin Cook knows just what he wants in his next NFL team. Cook told NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero that he, quote, wants somebody who values Dalvin Cook. I want somebody that wants me to be there and give me the ball. Texans rookie quarterback C.J. Stroud is taking first-team reps at mandatory minicamp, but that doesn't mean he's already won the quarterback number one job. D'Amico Ryan says the quarterbacks are rotating reps week by week. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Get excited for UNI Panther Athletics in 2023-2024. UNI football and men's basketball season tickets are available now. Renew online by visiting unitix.uni.edu or call 319-273-5411. The renewal deadline is June 30th. You can also find out more about new seats by calling 319-273-5411. Don't miss any of the exciting Panther action. Get your tickets today.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The New York Mets had high expectations coming into this season, and after all, the team was spending a league-high $353 million in salaries. With such a deep payroll, the Mets have all-star caliber players littered throughout the roster. Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, Sterling Marte, all top-level talent. But at the moment, the owner Steve Cohen's spending spree hasn't helped New York. The Mets spent a combined $86 million on Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. That's 28 million more than the entire Orioles roster, and they're 42-24 this year. The pitchers have combined for an ERA of 4.65 and just under 100 innings pitched. Scherzer and Verlander, no doubt capable of turning it around. They've combined for 6 Cy Young, 17 All-Star Game nominations. But if the two highest paid pitchers in baseball continue to fail to live up to their record-breaking contracts, it's going to be a long, long summer for the Mets. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
You've heard CEO Howard Mackler of Innovation Refunds and GetRefunds.com explain how he's helped so many small businesses with the ERC tax refunds. In fact, Innovation Refunds has already completed over 17,000 returns for many kinds of businesses just like yours. Construction, retail, restaurants, bars, hotels, and so many more. Are you a small business owner who started filing for the ERC tax refund and got stuck halfway? It's understandable. The process can be complicated, or you may not have anyone with experience to navigate the process. Not anymore. Innovation Refunds can help you finish that today. To start the process, you have to go to GetRefunds.com. No upfront charge. They don't get paid until you get paid. Innovation Refunds has already helped clients claim over $5 billion in payroll tax refunds. GetRefunds.com or download the app from the App Store today. That's GetRefunds.com. Good luck.
Cole and Company, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan mobile app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
Yeah, a lot of ways to listen to this show and all of our great programming, however you do it. Thank you so much. Thanks for being here today. Got to thank Waterloo East High School baseball coach Eric Jesse and Denver Post sports reporter and columnist Sean Keeler for joining today's show. A lot of fun, like usual. I will be back tomorrow at 5. Before then, of course, you'll get Cubs baseball tonight, game 2 of a 3-game set from Wrigley Field against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pregame at 6:30, first pitch at 7:05. And tune into Maximum Mornings between 6 and 8 with the one and only Mark Simpson. Tomorrow. That is a wrap. Have a great Wednesday night, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.